In the cinema pantheon of great film directors, Billy Wilder certainly has a prominent position, and a new book by an El Paso author helps viewers explore Wilder's incredible and incredibly diverse film output. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is Sherry Lowell Lewis, professor at the University of Texas at El Paso's Department of Communication. Her newly published book, Watching Wilder, is a guide to the complete American films of iconic director and screenwriter Billy Wilder. Thanks for joining me today. Good morning.
I'm pleased to be here. Thank you. Good morning.
Well, it's always great to talk to a local author who's writing about film, so I'm so glad we could get you into the studio. Congratulations on the very newly published book. How many years have you been teaching film studies?
Well, I started teaching Introduction to Film at El Paso Community College a long time ago, many years, like 10, 15 years ago.
Wow.
And did not teach film here at UTEP. I was teaching purely communication courses and
public speaking and
public
stuff
speaking,
like that.
Public business and professional communication, those are the two biggies. Hmm. Then a few years ago, UTEP changed the way it counts courses, and they took public speaking away from a required course and made it part of a menu. And there was a panic that shot through everyone who taught the basic courses, and I was told, you know, these speech classes aren't going to make anymore. There won't be enough students for them, so you better start teaching film. So
which is something you'd already done and love to do anyways.
But intro to film was what I taught. And for this, it was coming up to some other topic. And so the course director, Carrie Harrison, went through the list. And when she got to women in film, I took a breath and she said, but I'm teaching that. Okay, fine. So then she said, or you could do cinematic auteurs. And I said, what's that? And she goes, well, you pick a director and you teach about him. And I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. And without giving me a moment, she said, okay, which director? Well, I had just finished showing The Apartment at EPCC, and so I said, Billy Wilder, and I just really didn't know what an amazing pot of gold I had fallen into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you fell into Billy Wilder as your first focus on a director, and that was a number of years ago, but over the years, did this come out of your teaching that you thought you needed to create a study guide for your students?
No, it did not. I have a student named Larry Powers, who is now a graduate student in another department. But he used to come by and we'd just sit and talk about all kinds of things. And one day he saw me getting ready for class and he saw me going through my folder and he said, you should write a book. And I said, oh, no. These are just lecture notes. He said, no, that's a book. And
right.
I said, no, it's just lecture notes. No. And he's like, yeah, you should write a book about all of the movies. And he just, you know, really got behind and pushed. So it's because of him that I created the book.
So we should back up and clarify cinematic auteurs. That's a French word, auteur, which
author,
for lay people who like movies, it's a way of understanding the films over many years of a particular director who has put their personal stamp, or at least there's thematic and other things that link those films over many years together.
And Wilder is certainly both guilty and innocent of that because he also, you know, worked through many genres as he moved along, and he's considered to be one of the godfathers, if not one of the prime creators of cinema noir. Certainly,
he's also one of those rare directors that wrote all of his films.
He wrote other films that he did not direct. So this book covers the films that he wrote and directed.
Yeah.
So I do not cover his writing only because the course wasn't
right
for only him as a writer.
Cinematic
so not
auteurs.
All of the films he made. Yeah, not all of the films he made are in this book. These are just the ones he also directed.
But a distinction for him that over many decades, I think he worked almost 40 years in the American film industry. He was an emigre from Europe in the 30s, where Hollywood was the beneficiary of all of the political turmoil that was beginning in the 30s in Europe. And he was one of those, I guess he was born in Austro-Hungary, but worked in the German film industry. And so he arrived on these shores already fairly astute. And I think for all of his films, I don't know, reading your book, it seems it's one of the threads, is that despite working in many genres, his screenplays and his films are very erudite. They're acerbic. They have humor, even in the dramas, but biting and very European.
Yes.
And it's
well, that was the thing. He came at the United States with a very European perspective, and one of his overriding views is that Americans were in a big state of denial about their mores, about their more moral perpitude. And as a result, he constantly took jabs at that to try to make us see what we really were and how we really felt about these types of things.
When you showed The Apartment and then just picked Billy Wilder out of the blue. His output, I think a lot of people who don't know the name Billy Wilder know a lot of the films. It's amazing how many great films he made that are part of the canon.
Correct.
Why don't you just list a few of them off the top of your head?
So well, the ones that everybody know, Sunset Boulevard, certainly, Double Indemnity, mm-hmm. Those are both noir films for sure. Then The Apartment, and of course, Some Like It Hot is a hugely funny film.
One of the great comedies.
AFI voted it the funniest closing line of the 20th century, so yeah.
Right, nobody's perfect.
Correct. That's on his gravestone.
Ace in the Hole, I think, is a great film.
You know, Five Graves to Cairo.
Yeah,
we were talking about the other day,
early Billy Wilder, I think the second or third film he made, and a little war film, but I thought a little bit Hitchcockian, actually, in how it unfolds during the war.
It's a mystery. I ask students, you know, we're trying to nail him down to genre can be quite taxing.
Stalag 17, a POW war film.
But listed as a comedy by most.
Spirit of St. Louis.
A biography.
Right, a biography. Incredible. I'm always curious when young people encounter great classic film, and these films, they don't feel old to me, but many of them are 60, 70, 50 years old. And as you teach an auteur like director Billy Wilder, and I'm imagining that a lot of your students, they may know the titles, but they've probably never seen them. I mean, how do they engage with these films?
For a lot of the classes, I've taught this course many times now, for a lot of the semesters, I'll get this student who's sitting in the back slumped down, and they'll ask at the end, are all of his movies in black and white? I say, yeah, pretty much, because he didn't like color.
Right.
and you really see him being forced into color, and then he pulled back again after he had to do one in color, and then he pulled back again and did some more in black and white, because he just really knew how to light it, and he knew how to photograph black and white beautifully. And and when they start to see that, they get over it. And I often get in student essays a comment like, you know, I didn't think I was ever going to like any of these movies, but after a while you forget that they're in black and white and you just don't notice anymore.
It's an interesting comment because I was speaking to somebody a year or two ago about Some Like It Hot and they were talking about the color and they remember it as a color film.
Interesting.
Even though it's a black and white film.
Yeah. There are some color stills that I will show in class, and I show how Wilder tricked the studio into letting him make it in black and white because they wanted it in color. Color was big by then, and this was going to be a romping comedy, and so they wanted it in color. So he purposefully had Jack Lemmon made up in orange makeup. And he said it was necessary to cover his heavy beard so that when they took the still, the publicity shots, and you can see this orange makeup in the studio, I went, oh, well, no, that's awful. And he went, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to do it in black and white.
So this notion, this student that pushed you to write a book, the book itself, Watching Wilder, I guess works as a companion to the course that you teach on Billy Wilder. But I'm thinking this is not a normal study guide that I get sent to me, academic books sometimes. And to me, this is something that a layperson who just wants to learn about Billy Wilder could go on this journey with your book in their hand and each night watch another Wilder film and take them chronologically through. It's interesting that you give background on each film and a synopsis, but then challenge the reader. You've got a page.
You are the critic.
After each film where you're asking some really pointed questions about the film.
Thank you. That was my intention. My intention was to treat my students.
It seems more than an academic tome.
Thank you. Yeah, because I was trying to treat my students like they would become fans. Someday you'll be a fan and this will help you get there. And I realized as I was putting it together, and this has been, you know, over a couple of years getting this into final print like this, it occurred to me many times that this book had the potential to be more than just a textbook. And part of what I got was lots of cues from people I met along the way in the publishers and people I tell about it who would say, oh my goodness, I love Billy Wilder. And then they'd mention one or two titles that they knew of. So I thought, you know, there are people who are going to just want to read this book because it is friendly, I think. It's not so snotty and academic.
But it moves us out of passive viewing into active viewing and then afterwards allows the film to linger with us. And I really appreciate that because a lot of writing about film is more someone projecting on you their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And while you have an opinion in the book on each of these films, you're also engaging the viewer.
To make their own mind up. I'm a critical thinking teacher. Mm-hmm. This has always been one of my foci. So critical thinking is big. And so I made it sure as I could to make the questions critical thinking in nature so that people would be challenged to think about it and not just watch it and walk away.
And I challenge people listening that are interested in directors like this to do something like the book suggests, which is just go chronologically, because the great directors, you begin to see trends and stylistic appreciations and things that tie or thread through so many of the films. What are some of the things that stick out to you when you look at the entire work output of Billy Wilder that maybe tie most of his films together, or many of them?
It has to be that overrunning idea that Americans didn't pay attention. They weren't being honest with themselves about how they viewed things like sex in particular. Mm-hmm. So many of his films, the background has to do with some story that he had heard or some film that he had seen that was made in another country that he wanted to remake here and direct it towards us. And I think he loved the idea that he made Americans laugh at themselves mm-hmm. and maybe didn't even realize they were doing it.
Right. I would agree with that. And you mentioned the visual language, too, the black
Absolutely.
And white particularly. That's one of the things to me that ties his films together.
When I show the films, I stop them in class and say, look at what right. a pretty picture. Just look at that. Look
you
at that
mise-en-scene
that is gorgeous.
Wall.
Yeah.
Right. Do you have a favorite Wilder film?
No.
Whatever the last one you saw was.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I mean, Double Indemnity is so sharp and punctual, and that the spark between Stanwyck and McMurray is palpable. Then certainly Sunset Boulevard is magnetic and
yeah.
hypnotic. But you know, Some Like It Hot is just so much fun. And 7 Year Itch, both of the movies he made with Marilyn Monroe to me are just wonderful. And he struggled because he had to work with her. She was not...
Twice.
And he did it twice. In fact, he even in an interview, he said, I talked to my doctor and he said, it's okay. He's giving me permission to work with her again.
I think after 7 Year Itch, he swore he would never do that again. And then came Some Like It Hot.
And then came Some Like It Hot. Yeah. He just had to.
But yet he gets one of the iconic performances out of her.
Absolutely.
Twice.
Well, and that's one of the things I love when I show the film. Sometimes that students say, oh, that's a Wilder film? Uh-huh. Billy Wilder is the one who gave us that iconic. Well, I mean, you know, Norma in Sunset Boulevard is just, she's iconic. And people mm-hmm. say, oh, that's him? Yeah. And then in Some Like It Hot, they know that. And in 7 Year Itch, they see that white dress and they go, that's... Pictures from here? Yeah, it is. Billy Wilder gave us that.
It's interesting, too, how you engage our modern age. Your book has links and QR codes that take you to digital assets that are online that fill out some other areas of the book as well.
I was very pleased
when
I was
given...
That was
very unique. I don't think I've seen another book quite like this.
I was so pleased when they gave me the opportunity, and it was with just one. And then when I realized I could do it, I set out and found several more videos that are of perhaps interest there about Billy Wilder. And then because I could not bring myself to teach Death Mills, I put a QR code so students who are interested in seeing a documentary by Billy Wilder can go and watch it, and I don't have to because it's raw. And
yeah, that was a World War II documentary.
He was the first American photographer allowed into Germany after World War II, and so he's almost all of the visuals that you ever see, all the clips you see of people coming out of the death camps, those emaciated men and some women, that's probably from Wilder's film.
Amazing output, and it's, as I said, always nice to talk to a local author who's writing about film. So thanks so much for coming in today.
I appreciate being here.
Congrats on the book. My guest today has been Sherry Lowell Lewis. She is a professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Texas at El Paso and author of the just-published book Watching Wilder. Watching Wilder is a study of the American films of director Billy Wilder, whose work includes Sunset Boulevard, Double Indemnity, Some Like It Hot, and The 7 Year Itch. Watching Wilder is now available at online retailers Barnes & Noble and Amazon. On Films Engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. Thank you for listening to On Film.